Shall we turn now our Bible to the book of Malachi? Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 to 9. Malachi 2, 1 to 9. And I begin to read. It says, "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart." Verse 3 says, "Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with faith. Then you shall know that I have sent these commandments to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way, you have caused many to stumble at the law, you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law." Last week we saw about the message, the quiet message we send to God. Even when we people decide that we keep quiet, we keep silence, there is always a message we send. Communicating is not only with words, is not only with gesture, is not only with the language of the body. Communication can also be in our silence. By we keeping silence towards God or towards people, we're sending a message to them. That's what we saw yesterday, and God last week, and God was not happy with it. In today's message, as we begin, we see this is a message particularly to the priests, to the leaders, to the spiritual leaders of God's people, the people God has put in place to be the leaders of his congregation. In Old Testament, in Malachi's time, were the priests. This can be applied today to families. This can be applied to Church of God. This can apply to anywhere where there is somebody who's a leader. As God the leader, so go the people. If the leader is diligent, if the leader is disciplined, the people will be diligent, the people will be disciplined. If the leader is faithful, people will be faithful. And if the people and the leader is unfaithful, people will be unfaithful. And we begin here specifically to the priest, to the spiritual leader. As a way of warning you, I'll be using the word minister a lot. Minister, minister. So when I talk minister, I'm not talking about the government leaders. I'm talking about church leaders. When I talk about minister, I'm talking, think of a pastor, think of an elder. When I say the minister, so that we don't, you don't think I'm talking about Pivi Rasan and or Risiko or these other people. I'm talking about minister in the church. Those who minister to people. That's the one I'm going to be using a lot today. In verse 2, we see here of Malachi, God begins with the charge to these people. He says, if we will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name. We see the problem, the key problem, the main problem the priests of Malachi's day had was they refused to give glory to God. They didn't give glory to God. As a church leader, as a pastor, as an elder, our duty is to bring glory of God in everything we do. As we know, as Paul says, that whatever you do, eating or drinking, do it to the glory of God. That is the main thing, the main focus of people who are leaders. They have to ask themselves, is God being glorified in everything I am doing? This is not what people of Malachi's time were doing. The priests were faithless ministers who didn't think of giving glory to God. They didn't give glory to God. That means they focus on other things. They give glory to themselves, or they were preoccupied with the sacrifice. They were preoccupied with the temple worship, but God was not being glorified. We see it time after time. If the minister, if the pastor, if the elder is not focused on glorifying God, on presenting the glory of God when he preaches the word of God, when he lives his life, when whatever he does it to give glory of God, people become the same. People focus on cars, people focus on other stuff than on giving glory to God Almighty. This is the problem people of Malachi's time heard. They refused to give glory to God. When we talk about glory, we see heaviness, we see worthiness. When we say glory, we see heaviness. Somebody who's heavy, somebody who's worthy. God is to be heavy, like we have to see him as worthy of everything. Refusal to do that, we end up thinking God, or taking God so lightly, taking God's name in vain, instead of doing what we're supposed to do to lift him up higher, as we saw David doing it in the book of Psalm 8, as we read today. A minister who refuses, a pastor who refuses to bring God glory, is as the one, the priest of Malachi's time. And God, he's not happy. God is going to have a message to that messenger, to that priest, or to that pastor, that this is what God says. And we see there are consequences here in verse 2. That part says that because you refuse to give glory to God, it says that I will send a curse upon you. God will curse the minister who doesn't give glory to him. The minister who wants to share the glory of God with other things. The minister who doesn't give glory to God will be cursed. God won't just accept men to share glory with him. We know the scripture said that he is a jealous God. That we share his glory with any other person. God will curse a minister who doesn't. God will curse any ministry which doesn't function according to his own law by giving glory to him. And we see here two curses. The first curse is multidimensional. It's multidimensional. That means that this case is whichever direction, whichever way you go, God will oppose you. The Lord God will be actively involved in cursing, in opposing everything you do. Whatever you touch, God will not make it to prosper. Whatever you do, whatever direction you take, the Lord God will not accept it. As we see here, it says, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart. God will curse every minister, will curse every ministry which doesn't give glory to Him. No matter what you do, no matter what side you turn to, the Lord God will be actively opposing what you are doing. Whatever you touch, it won't prosper. And second curse we see here, it will be multi-generational. It will be multi-generational. That means that, as it says in the beginning of verse 3, behold, I will rebuke your descendants. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants. God will not only rebuke the minister or the pastor or the elder or the priest of Old Testament. He says that He will pass that judgment on the generation, on third or fourth generation of that minister. So it's not only that I done wrong, it stays with me. It continues. God will even put it even in generations to come. Sometimes we might be thinking the situation, our land, the church in this land finds itself. We know that the church of God is as it is today. You know, I can't tell you better. Could it be because of negligence of our forefathers? Older generation didn't take things of God seriously. They took the name of God in vain, and the curse of God is continuing in generation after generation. We see here God's curse is multi-generational. God curses even generations which come after that. They suffer. Let's put it in this sense that you have a generation of ministers here at this time who are not faithful, who are not giving glory to God. They will reproduce church members or ministers who are not faithful, who are not giving glory to God. And those ministers will reproduce ministers who are not faithful, who are not giving glory to God. And it goes in generation in generation. And that's the curse of God. When I think of this, of how God curses ministers who are not faithful, this brings into my mind the words of James 3, verse 1. As it says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. It brings these verses in my mind time after time, when I think of the curse God will put on the unfaithful ministers. Every sermon I have ever preached, every counseling I've ever made, every ministry I've ever made will be put on the table on the last day. When I'll be standing in judgment, God will be going through all my teaching, all my preachings. And when I'm thinking of that, I tremble and I fear. And the words of Romans 2:21 echoes in my mind, always say that, you then who teach others, do you not know to teach yourself? I ask myself every evening after I've preached, after I've gone through my preaching, is God being glorified? Is Jesus Christ being magnified? And then I take all those things which I've preached, apply them to my own life. Is there any reality in my own life, or is it not there? And this brings a caution or warning to any of you young men who one day God will raise up to be teachers of the Word of God. You have to be careful. You have to know that in everything you do, God has to be glorified and God has to be magnified in everything you do. It's not just a career. It's not just fame. It's not this. You will be judged strictly. And if you are not faithful, if you are unfaithful, the curse of God will be on you. It's not only you, and it will also be on descendants. So take it to heart to be a faithful minister of the Word of God. And then we see the second part of verse 3. It says here, God is using a language which if a child will use on a dinner table, he will be taken off, he will be told off. God is saying that here that the refuse of yourself and spread refuse on your faces. God is saying that, you know, if you are familiar to Old Testament sacrificial law, how they were offering the refuse, the dung, the dunju, as you say here, dunju, dung from the animals which were sacrificed were to be carried out of the temple to be burned. And God is saying that I found a way, a good way of using it. I will spray it, I will rub it, I will put it on your faces. To the unfaithful ministers, God says that he will use the refuse, the dung, the bice. He will put them on the face, or will smear them on their faces. That means he will make them so dirty, so disgusting. And then he says what he's going to do with it. He says, and one will take you away with it. God will make all those unfaithful servants, ministers or priests or pastors or elders, what he will do with them, he will spray the dung on them, he will spray the bice on them, and then what will happen is somebody will take them out. They will be removed, they will be discarded, they will be worth nothing. They will be as the dung of the animals were to be burned. They will be taken out. They will be despised. That is how serious God takes it when a minister, when a pastor, when an elder, when a priest doesn't glorify God, doesn't give glory to God. A minister of God is a person who's to be thinking of giving glory to God. As he himself is the man who gives glory to God, when the church of God is met together, when the church of God, people of God meet together, they will see that glory of God through everything the minister does, through the preaching of the word, through the songs we sing, through the prayers we pray, through our talks. Everything has to give glory to God. It must be God-centered. Unfaithful minister, we'll be talking about his cars, we'll be talking about his suits, we'll be talking about his other stuff, things which don't give glory to God. We'll talk more about money. We'll talk more about his stuff which he loves than talking about giving glory to God. God will repay, he will spray, he will rub, he will smear dung, bite on his face, and they will be taken out, they will be carried out, they will be removed from the service of God. That's the end of ministry. That's the end of ministry. Let me tell you that a successful minister is the one who brings his followers, or God, people God has put under him to see the glory of God. They are people who are focused on giving glory to God. A failed or unsuccessful minister is the one who doesn't bring people of God to give glory to God. They glorify themselves. They glorify the things God has given them. They glorify the church. They glorify the music. They glorify the building. They glorify other stuff than glorifying God. God takes it so seriously. And the question is, why God is so upset with priests of Malachi's day? We saw that he was going to curse them. Why is he putting this strict, this severe judgment on them? The answer is because they did not meet the standard of ministry. There are people who were not qualified. There are people who were not supposed to be where they were. People who were not qualified. We didn't meet the standard of God in ministry. When we read here from verse 4, God puts his standard up. He says here, "Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my commandment with my covenant with Levi may continue," says the Lord of hosts. "My covenant was with life, with him, one of life and peace. I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name." God gave the garment, put the priesthood for one thing, as it says here, so that Levi would fear him. The priests should fear God. They should have respect for him. Which means, if you do this, it will produce fear of God, trembling. You will be a person who fear God, as Levi did. We go to verse 6 here. We see this standard of God being put in place. The first standard for ministry, according to God, is that the minister must be bibliocentric. It must be centered on or deriving from the Bible. It means the minister must be a communicator of the Word of God. The main job, the main occupation for the minister, it must be the one who communicates the Word of God. It must be a person who puts preaching of the Word of God as the central point of his ministry. Not anything else. Not to be a fortune teller. Not to be a person who makes people to feel good. Or not to be a social worker. Not to be friends with people. The job, the first job, the central job of a minister, it must be a communicator of the Word of God. As the Bible says here in verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth. A minister must be the person who knows the law of God. The law of God is always on his mouth. He preaches the Word of God. Not motivational speaker. Not somebody who is just there to prophesy or say fortune telling. Or not somebody who is just there to entertain people. He must have the law of truth in his mouth. The knowledge of the law of God must be central in the life of a priest or a pastor. He must be a person who spends time reading the Word of God. He must be a person who prays to God. He must be a person who knows the law of God. Because if you read Deuteronomy 17:9, it says that people had to come to the priest to ask for judgment. If there was any matter or any issue, Deuteronomy 17:9 says that they would come and the priest would give them the judgment. That means the priest had to know the law of God and had to know how to apply it. He had to know the Word of God and had to know how to apply it. That means it's not somebody who is just talking empty words or is doing, it's a person who spends time reading the Word of God. If you remember in Hosea 4:6, the priest of Hosea's time had forgotten the law of God. They had forgotten it and they didn't know how to apply it anymore. What happened? God rejected them. God cursed them. He says the priest is the messenger of God. He's the messenger of God. That means he spends time in the presence of God, not listening to words as a not, there's no specification here. There's no special anointing here, no special things here that he hears voice. That means he's the person who spends time in scriptures. He gives all his life to reading of scriptures, of studying of the Word of God. He knows what the Bible teaches. He knows what the Bible say. He spends time in prayer. He talks to God about the needs of people. He knows what he's talking about. And then when people come to him, he knows how to apply the scriptures he has read. I come to a pastor, to a priest, or if I was living in the Old Testament, if I would come to a priest, I would tell him, this is my problem. It must be that I have problem with my wife, or I have problem with my employee, I have problem with my boss. He would open the Torah and tell me, this is what the Bible says, and the Torah says. The same applies to a minister at this time. He will open the Word of God, say, this is what the Word of God says. Preaching of the Word of God must be a priority since it is the truth. The truth. God has not put people together so that you tell them your wisdom. So that you entertain them, you tell them your own imagination. God has put people together that you may preach the Word of God. Because the Word of God is unchanging. It binds people from all places, all time, and the message is from the Lord of hosts. If you think in history, I know that there's many of you here who love church history. You can maybe better than me. You know, time after time in church history, through the preaching of God, God has raised men. Men who have taken the office of ministry so seriously. They have preached the Word of God. We think in the 4th century, people like Athanasius, who stood in defense of the doctrine of Trinity, that Jesus Christ is Son of God, He is God. You think in 5th century, people Augustine, who stood to say that salvation is by grace of God alone. We think of Luther and the reformers in the 16th century. We think of Whitfield and Edward during Great Awakening. You think of people of like Spurgeon and Lloyd Jones, people who stood for truth. By preaching of the Word of God, we have what we have today. People who spend time in reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. That is the standard of God in a minister. He must be a person whose the law of truth is to be on his mouth. It's not the person who is full of fables. It's not the person who is full of full of philosophies, full of stories, full of experiences, must be a person who is full of the Word of God. That is the standard. And I hope as you come to this church, as you sit under teaching, you are being fed. You see that these people who are your teachers, they spend time in scriptures. They study the Word of God. They have something to say. They have spent time with God. They are messengers from God because they've spent time with God. They read the Word of God. They can expand this. Because this reproduces worship. When we come before God, when we know what God wants of us, when God is being magnified among us, when the preacher is presenting God as this, there is worship. God's people know who God is. They worship Him for who He is. People know who the God is. They worship Him. We don't want our children to grow on the street. We beg them Sunday after Sunday, come, sit under biblical teaching. We bring them to listen. We know that this message of God is life-changing. We value it. Because we know it is the truth of God. It is the truth of God. God has made His people to depend on preaching of His word. Because that is the force which comes through the light. And which brings light in people's life. The gospel of God. As preachers, we have a duty of pointing, showing people the law, expanding the law of God, at the same time pointing them to the Messiah, showing the grace of God which has been revealed through scriptures. Unfaithful ministers, they are not interested in things of God. They are not interested in studying the word of God. The truth of God is not in his mouth. It's full of lies. It's full of lies. Unfaithful ministers are full of exaggerations. They exaggerate things. They want to make things big as than they are. They want to excite people. They think that by them talking, they make people so excited. They are masters of finding things, thinking that they're finding new things, but they are not. They are old, same stories. A faithful minister, the standard of God is that the minister must be a communicator of the word of God. As he says here, the law of truth was in his mouth. The law of truth was in his mouth. You look for a minister, look, talk to him. You look to a pastor, look to him, and think of this. Is the law of truth in his mouth? Or is he full of fables, imaginations, stories? Is there a person, you know that this person knows the word of God, not what it is all about. This is the person who has spent time with God. This person who knows the saving grace of God, who knows the mercy of God, who knows the forgiveness of sin. This is the person who has put his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is waiting for his return, that he will spend time with him in glory. That's the biggest thing he tells people over and over. People get tired of it because he says of it time after time. Not that he tells you about his car time after time, about his shoes, about his check, which came into all the time. And you know, it's all about money. It's all about what he has. Think of a preacher. Is the Lord Jesus Christ found in his talk time after time? That's the first standard. The law of truth must be in the mouth of those who are ministers. Second standard. Malachi's time, God has put it in people's lives. He says that, and turned many away from iniquity. It points to the life of minister. It turns to the life of minister. It says that he turns many away from sin. He communicates the knowledge and the instruction of the Lord. This is the person, because of his own life, because of the way he lives his life, many who follow him become like him. In that way, that because he preaches righteousness, because he lives righteousness, because he is dedicated his life to honor of God, and people who are with him, they turn from the iniquity, they turn from sin. He walks with the Lord. People see a God-fearing person. They see a faithful minister. They see that he walks with peace and equity. A minister who's focused about the reputation of his Lord. Who's careful. Who does want the name of God to be mocked because of his behavior. A person who cares about the reputation of his master, who works for his own piety and holiness. He works his own sanctification in a way that he is careful of what he does. He wants to be transformed time after time into an image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a careful somebody. Not somebody who is just there to give dirty jokes, foul mouth. Somebody who can't be trusted. Somebody who says something else, you have to read between the lines. Somebody who has bad reputation from among the people he's with. Somebody who can't be trusted. He must be a person who turns many away from sin. He communicates the truth of God, and that truth transforms his life, and he lives according to that. A minister who pursues sanctification, whose duty is to prepare the bride of Christ, so that when they meet Christ, they'll be like him. The minister who's talking about sanctification, he lives that sanctification himself. Holiness. Not a minister who every time there's dirty jokes, he's the first one. Who's always attracted to sinners in a way that to be friends with them, so that to be like them. A minister who's there to show the grace of God, that God has done the work in his own life. God has transformed him. God has changed him. God has given him hope. And that hope is being seen in his own behavior. And people of God see that and they turn away from the sin. The standard is high. The standard is high. The standard is high. Not a minister who's worse than when he began. As many you see today, time after time, we hear of ministers. They said when he began, it was not like this. Well, he was a good guy. He began so well. But today we don't know if he's even saved. Today we don't even think if he's become worse. And that's not
a minister who is acceptable before God. A minister who is acceptable before God is a minister who, when he began trying to walk, and he was walking, and after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, there is a change in his life, that he is walking his holiness. He's working his piety. He's the person who's lifting the standard is high. The guy shows that the more he knows of the word of God, the more he spends time with God, the more holier he becomes. Not the opposite. Not the opposite. Some ministers, we know that they don't care. They don't preach about holiness. They don't talk about things of God because they don't know it in their own lives. How will they preach about holiness if it's sucking in, and if it's lacking in their own life? How will they talk about turning away from sin if what they live is sin? How will they preach about the word of God if all the time they spend before computer games and playing guitars or speaking in tongues or doing all these other nonsense? How will they talk about the word of God? A minister is a self-disciplined person. His life speaks volume. His love speaks volume. It doesn't have to tell you that I'm a minister. You have to know that this person is a priest and is a pastor. He is a preacher. He's an elder in the church. This is the person who is the leader of God's people. There are fruits to this kind of ministry. A minister who is faithful, there is fruits, as the Bible says. There are promises of a preacher who walks with God, preaches the word according to God's standards. The man who preaches the truth of God, as it says here, and then the person whose life is showing piety and holiness. It says that he turned men away from iniquity. That means conversions. Conversions. When people come before that preacher, this kind of preacher, when they sit under his teaching, when they spend time with him, conversions are seen. Many conversions. People will turn from darkness into righteousness. People will turn from sin into light. People will turn away from the bad ways. They become Christians. There is promises. God says here that he walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. A priest or a pastor or an elder who is walking according to standard of God is a person, before you meet him, you start thinking in your mind, what is he going to tell me today? When you come to church, you know that, oh, now I'm in trouble. If you've been living a life of sin, if you've been living a life of disobedience, and by sitting under his teaching, if you think of people like Spurgeon, if you think people like Lord Jones, if you think of people like John MacArthur and Paul Washer, and how many people have we heard who sat under the teaching who became born again? We see the faithfulness being shown even on this side of the world. People listen to the preachings and they realize that they are sinners. They realize that they are not born again. They beg for mercy of God and God saves them. That's only through the message, which they hear online. What about if they would spend time with these people, time after time, sitting under the teaching, to see the standard of their own lives? Is this what we see in ministers today? Think of any ministers you know today. You've spent time with in your own lives. Do you see any conversions? It's not only one conversion. It's many conversions. And that's the fruit of minister who meets the standard of God, who preaches the truth of God, who lives according to the word of God, to the grace of God. There will be many conversions. And let me ask you a question. How will you see conversion in a church if the pastor, if the minister, if the elder doesn't preach about sin? How will many turn from sin if the minister or the priest doesn't preach about sin in their own church? He has taken the popular way. He has thought that sin makes talking about sin makes people uncomfortable. Let me just keep quiet. How will the ministry be blessed? Can you see that these things work together? Faithfulness in preaching the word of God, faithfulness in life, work hand in hand. For you to see conversion, for you to see, to be a successful minister, the one who is blessed by the Lord, you must preach the counsel of God. You must preach sin. You must preach sin to people. By you showing them that they are sinners, they have transgressed against the law of God, they are going to hell. When they realize that, you can present to them the grace of God through His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Things work hand in hand. We have many churches around here. Ministers who have decided not to talk about sin. And they are sitting there thinking that they want to see people being saved. Jacob starts for Christ. Or Peter started for Christ, or whatever they think. They think that people will come to Christ. They have Bula League, and they have things, they have meetings and ecumenical meetings. And they do all that they do. But they refuse to teach about sin. How will God bless the ministry? How will many turn away from the sins if they don't teach them about sin? If you take teaching of sin out of the church, we are in a church here, and you people are here. I know you study your word at home. You have to know the standard of God in a preacher. You have to know the standard of God in a pastor. And I pray to God that whenever you see that the pastor is going off, is stopping talking about sin, you see, but you start sitting comfortable here while you've been sinning all week like the devil. And you come in the church, you feel so comfortable. Or you meet God's people, you feel so comfortable. And the pastor has been in front, has preached. You don't feel challenged. You don't feel moved. That day, you have to know that something is wrong. You have to know that something is wrong. And I pray and I beg that that day, you have courage to say to the pastor that something is wrong with our church. Something is wrong with our church. Put him on the pot saying, no, I've been sinning all week and you preached today. I was not even challenged. To make him shut his mouth. We have to know the standard of God. We have to know that the faithful minister of God must have the law of truth on his mouth. And he must live in piety and in holiness. He must be a person, when you come close to him, you turn away from sin. A person who, when you are close to him, when you sit under his teaching, you have the influence of what he teaches and what he lives himself. We see here what the ministers or the priests of Malachi's time has done. Verse 8 to 9, it says here that they departed from the way. Instead of walking in narrow and straight road, they took the broader way. They took the popular way. They took a way which suits everybody. And it says again, the result of them departing from the way, it says here, verse 8, you have caused many to stumble at the law. You know, it's not only the minister, when the minister stumbles, when he departs from the way, if he departs from the truth, there are consequences there. He makes others to stumble, to go away from the way. When he stands in front, instead of preaching righteousness, instead of preaching the glory of God and preaching about sanctification, holiness, instead of preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, he starts teaching about feebles. He starts teaching about being better you. He starts preaching about you trying. He starts preaching about speaking in tongues. And many will stumble from the way. Many, instead of being challenged, they'll sit comfortable. They'll be going. They think that there is no power in Christianity. They think that there is nothing new in Christianity. Let me try Buddhism. Let me try Islam. Let me try to be atheist. Let me try to be a psychologist. Let me try this, because there's no clarity in the preacher. We see it today. Ministers, pastors, or priests in Lutheran Church, we will know that they've fallen away. What they do is, and they do it today, is they are advocating sin. They are advocating same-sex marriage. They are advocating women to be preachers. They are advocating abortion, that is right of women. They are advocating things the Bible speaks clearly against. They are advocating against the idea that Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way, the truth and life. We see they are advocating that there's many ways. Muslims or Jews and the other people, they have their own way. You can't be so specific. You can't be black and white. There's a gray zone there. And because of that, we see time after time, many have stumbled. Many have stumbled. Even people you met before, you knew that they were Christians. Or they were at least on the way. They were on the way. You meet them 5 years later. Even the small things they agreed on, they started disagreeing. Everything is becoming blurry. Ministers who have gone away from the truth make many to stumble. We have churches full of people who, what they are preoccupied with is speaking in tongues, is to go on the street and healing, is to fast, is to do this, and if you try to open the Bible, let us read the Bible. They're not interested, because the pastor is not interested, because the leaders are not interested, and the leaders will even tell them that too much of a Bible is dangerous. Don't read too much Bible. Don't talk about doctrine. They make many to stumble. We see it in our own land. We see it among people we know. This is not a new thing. This letter of Malachi could have been written in 2017. It fits well in what is happening here. They departed from the God standard. It says here that they had shown partiality. In the second part of verse 9, it says, let us read verse 9. Says, therefore, I have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my laws, but have shown partiality in the law. When a minister, when a pastor, when an elder start choosing what to preach from, the topic which are not controversial, the topics which are not gonna raise some questions or some discussions, or the topics which are not gonna challenge people, when you start leaving those away, preaching only the love of God, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, we're all going to heaven. What happens is they are showing partiality. It could be that he sees that this member of my church gives me much money. He's the one who gives me money. I can't say anything which are close to him. It could be this family is my best friend. I can't preach about this, even about divorce, because he's a divorcee himself. I can't preach about divorce. They start picking and choosing topics which fit their own ambitions. Instead of preaching the whole counsel of God, they start choosing, they start showing favor. They become respecters of people. Respecters of people. And the Bible says that God will make them contemptible, will make them foul, will make them the ministry to be a failure. God will discard them, will put the dung on their face, the dung of their own swollen fist, and somebody will take them out. That's the end of ministry, if you're showing partiality. In the way of application, I have four applications. I know many of you, some of you have been in churches, you have been hurt by behavior of pastors, behavior of ministers, elders, by their favoritism, by their misconduct. You have been exposed to the hypocrisy. God says in this scripture that he hates those unfaithful ministers more than you hate them. He hates them 100 times more than you hate them. He says that he will put end to their ministry. God will put the face, will put them, do the most disgusting thing to them, will make them contemptible. Do not give hope, do not give heart because of bad behavior of a minister you have been throughout your life. I know that there are many of you, at sometimes you start even treating everything with cautiousness. You don't even want to come close to any church because of hypocrisy of the ministers. People who portray themselves to be God's spokespersons, while everything they say is lies, their own imagination, they are manipulating, they are tyrants. The message is today that God hates those ministers more than you do. God is opposing them more than he does. You do. Second application. For some of you, as I say, if the Lord calls you into ministry, if you have a platform to preach the word of God, Do not be a respecter of persons in the way that you choose what fits, what doesn't fit. You become diplomatic. You give answers which are blurry. You preach the gospel which is not the gospel. You water down the gospel. That is the end of your ministry. That's the end of the ministry. You will make people like them and like yourself. And when you are with people who are not converted, people who are not giving glory to God, the first thing they do is they want to dethrone God. They want to dethrone you and there's trouble. If God gives you that opportunity, when He gives you that opportunity to be a minister of the Word of God, be faithful. Have the truth of God in your mouth and live a life which honors God, which shows holiness and piety. And number three, this teaching we see here in Malachi is not the Old Testament thing, because it talks about priests. It talks about the standard of God is priests. This is also a New Testament thing. If you read Titus 1:8, it gives us the character of a minister or an elder or a pastor. He says that he must be hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. It goes hand in hand with Old Testament priests. The only thing, we are not here to do sacrificial laws and on the temple. It says also in 1 Timothy 3:2, it says that a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. You see, the teaching thing is there after time. It saddens my heart when I see we have elders in the church. We are not teaching elders, preachers and elders. There are thousands of churches around the world, even in Finland. Even people we know, I mean, elder in the church, but they don't preach. We see here the standard of God, that he must be a communicator of the Word of God. This goes hand in hand with what is said in New Testament. And the last point, an overseer or a pastor is not just one of the simple occupations in the Bible. It is a special duty in the Bible. Of no other occupation in the Bible or office in the Bible, it is said that by teaching the sound doctrine, you will save yourself and those who hear you. There's no other occupation in the Bible which talks about souls of men than the worship, the office of overseers, people who are spiritual leaders of the Church of God. People who are leaders of Church of God, who preach the Word of God, they have to know that the hearts, the souls of people are at stake here. I have to bring the message which is beneficial to the souls. The message which nourishes the soul. The message which brings glory to God, which brings worship from the souls of men. When they hear the Word of God, the only thing they can say, praise God. If they are not converted, they will see the need for the Savior in everything we see. We are not here to make people feel good. We are not here to make people have Bentley or Ferrari or Porsche or these other cars. We are here to tell people about our Savior, about our Lord, and we have to do it faithfully. You're sitting here. Some of you are younger than we are. We will die before you. You have to know that you have a duty. If the Lord raises a man to stand in the pulpit, he must be a man who meets the standard of God. And for you to know that standard, you have to know it. You have to know it from the Word of God. The pulpit is to be protected. The pulpit is to be for people who are qualified. And that's your duty. That's my duty. That's the duty of God's people. We don't want to be in a church which is cursed. We don't want to be in a ministry which is cursed by God. God is busy rubbing the dung on the face of the minister. He's taking them away. You are sitting under such a ministry. We want to sit in the ministry which God is busy blessing. God is busy working. God is busy transforming. That is the heart of God. So, in closing, God hates ministers who don't meet His standard. As ministers, as people, as leaders, as people, be responsible. Be responsible. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Coming to church on Sunday must be to the glory of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Father, as it challenges, Father, as it shakes me to the core, when I'm standing and presenting this truth, knowing the reality of it, Father, knowing the consequences of it, knowing the blessings of it, Father, we pray for faithfulness, that we'll be faithful people. We'll be people. We will lead many to conversion. We will bring many, Lord, to Christ by our preaching, by our lives. Forbid it, Lord, that we'll be the ones who make people to stumble, to follow away from the way. Lord, help us to be faithful servants. Help the church of God. Help the congregation, Lord God, to be people who use their discernment, who know the standard of God, who are able to protect the pulpit, who are able to know what to expect, Lord, from what is being said from the pulpit and what is to be said from the man of God or the man who is the leader of the church. Give them boldness to be able to stand against what is unbiblical, what is not God honoring, God glorifying. God, we pray all this, Lord, for glorification of your Son. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.